These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code parenting for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code parenting at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Hello, everyone. Okay, so we have reached the third and final episode of the three-part series on parenting using Maslow's hierarchy and, of course, taking Erikson's stages of psychosocial development also into consideration. I did not know I had this much material on this topic, but I realized I wanted to give a good overview. And then I thought it'd be helpful to talk about kind of some of the regular, more common day-to-day issues, because initially I was going to talk about this, some of these bigger issues, but we all come up against these bigger issues at some point in life that we need to deal with as parents. And I thought parents might want to know what they want to take into consideration when they talk to their kids about that. So I've also gotten several great questions in the past month that I will be covering in the next several episodes. And I haven't shared how to send in a question in quite a while. And because I moved the whole website over to a much more robust platform, I have a new email address, support@yourvillageonline.com. So if you have a parenting question you want to send in, you can send it there to support@yourvillageonline.com. Okay, in part one, as I mentioned, I did an overview of Erikson's stages of psychosocial development so you could understand what is happening with children's development psychosocially at each stage, as well as the 5 tiers of Maslow's hierarchy of needs and how we can meet those in general by age as well. In last week's episode, I covered how parents can take development and this hierarchy of needs into consideration when dealing with common developmental issues such as lying. It's a very common thing parents deal with and ask me about. And when it comes to teaching apologies, how do we teach our kids to apologize? How do we teach our kids to feel empathy and apologize? So this week, I'm going to discuss how we can make sure we're taking these things under consideration when we deal with some of life's bigger problems, bigger issues, adult problems that kids, and honestly, even a lot of us adults struggle with. Things like talking to kids about serious illness and death, relationship stress or strain and discord, and financial stress or strain. And this could apply to anything. You could substitute any adult issue that you're facing, even if it's not necessarily something negative or difficult. It could just be a really big change. You can substitute that as we go through this. You could think about how that applies to your situation. So first, I'm going to discuss illness and death and the development of kids' understanding of death, because sometimes adults can feel very hurt when kids don't react the way that we would expect. So understanding what's going on in kids' minds and their understanding of life and death is really helpful, so that you're not going into this situation expecting them to react in a certain way and then feeling disappointed. When you understand what's really going on with them, it makes a lot more sense. Now, this could be about pets. It could be about the neighbor. It could be about a close family member. But it's one of those difficult topics to discuss with kids. Long before we realize it, children become aware of death. They'll see dead animals, dead birds, roadkill, insects. They may see death at least once a day on television or on video games as well. They hear about it in fairy tales and they act it out in their play. Death is a part of everyday life. And children, at some level, are aware of this. Children's perceptions are being studied for a better understanding of how they think about death. And researchers have found that two factors influence children's conception of death: their developmental stage and their experience, which means their environment, their prior experience, and their ethnic, religious, and cultural backgrounds, what they might have been taught to believe or think about death and handle it. So death is a natural ending to the life of every living thing. Like, we know this as adults. But the sadness that surrounds dying can best be handled by caring for one another, caring for each other, either by providing care to someone who is ill or just by being there for those who are grieving. Studies show that children go through a series of stages in their understanding of death. Preschool children usually see death as reversible. They see it as temporary and impersonal. From watching cartoon characters on television miraculously recover after being crushed or blown apart will tend to reinforce this idea. But between the ages of 5 and 9, most children are beginning to realize that death is final and that all living things die. But they still do not see death as personal. They harbor the idea that somehow they can escape through their own ingenuity. Now, during this stage, children also tend to personify death, meaning they associate death with a skeleton or with the angel of death, the Grim Reaper. Some children have nightmares about these images as well. From ages 9 to 10 through adolescence, children begin to understand fully that death is irreversible, that all living things die and that they too will die someday. And some will begin to work on developing a philosophical view of life and death. Teenagers can become intrigued with seeking the meaning of life. Some adolescents react to their fear of death by taking unnecessary chances with their lives. In confronting death, they're trying to overcome their fears by confirming their control over their own mortality. If we allow children to talk to us about death, then we can give them the needed information to prepare them for a crisis and help them when they're upset. We can encourage their communication by showing interest in and respect for what they say. We can also make it easier for them to talk to us if we're open, honest, and comfortable with our own feelings. As with any sensitive subject, we seek a delicate balance that encourages children to communicate and find a balance between avoidance and confrontation. And this balance is not easy. So we need to try to be sensitive to children's needs and communicate when they're ready. Maintain openness that encourages attempts to communicate, listen and accept their feelings. Offer honest explanations, especially when we're obviously upset over a loss. Answering questions in simple language that's appropriate for their age, and try to find brief, simple, and age-appropriate answers to their questions, understanding what will not overwhelm them with too many words or too complex of concepts. These topics are hard, and this also relates to the other topics I'm going to talk about in just a minute. But there comes a time when we don't have all the answers. Young children, in particular, seem to expect us to have all the answers, even about things like death. But death, the one certainty in life, is life's greatest uncertainty. And coming to terms with death can be a lifelong process. So now that you have some understanding of your child's understanding of death based on their stage or age, Here's how where it fits into Maslow's hierarchy and how it can help you make decisions about how to best discuss, share, and support your child based on their understanding. So a terminal illness and or death can rock ours and therefore our children's feelings of safety and security, especially if it's someone we look to or rely on in those ways, even if it's just for emotional support. But even if it's not someone who fills those needs for us, like if it's just someone like a neighbor or a distant relative, it still can remind us that we're all susceptible and we can start thinking about what if. So how do we help our kids feel as safe and secure as possible? If a grandparent passes away, or the neighbor, or a friend's parent, kids might start asking about their own parents' mortality, about your mortality. The thing is, we don't want to lie. We don't want to make promises we can't keep by saying things like, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be around for a very long time. That's something we say when we want to sweep it under the rug and we don't want to talk about it or we don't know what else to say. So it's really important to think about this ahead of time, what you want to say about it. When my kids were little, I had one in particular, my younger son, who got very upset about this. He got very worried about losing me at one point. And gosh, I want to say he was somewhere between 4 and 7. So, and that's a kind of a big age range, but we did have to have these conversations. It did come up. So be prepared. So especially once kids get older and they know more about life and they have more experience, we really don't want to be lying because while statistically it may be very likely true that we're going to be around for a long time, if your child's friend's parent, so like your daughter's friend's mom just passed away or is in the final stages of an illness, it's not very reassuring to say that we're going to be around for a long time. We want to have honest conversations. Grandma was much older. She had a lot of health problems, but I'm young and I'm healthy and I plan to be around for a very long time. You can assure your child of your health and your health status and everything you do to make sure that you're staying healthy so you can live a long time. I just got a thorough checkup at the doctor and I'm really healthy. I eat my vegetables, I exercise, I get lots of hugs from you. And did you know that hugs help us stay healthy? So this is a way we can reassure our kids without lying or making false promises. Okay, what about other adult issues such as financial or relationship strain? Because these are two other areas that can also affect children's sense of security and safety. The second tier of Maslow's hierarchy. Now, this is my personal belief, and that is that I don't want to share anything with my kids that will worry them that they don't have any control to change. I feel like that's an unnecessary burden on them. With that said, I do think there are ways to not sugarcoat life and share some things without disrupting their sense of security. I know as adults, we don't always feel like we have it all under control. I know the stress of financial or marital strain may show or come out in our response as hard as we may try to protect our kids from it. If we're stressed, we may get very short. So here's a couple of examples. When my kids' dad and I were trying to figure out our relationship and where we were going, what we were going to do, we were going to therapy, we were having lots of discussions, we were reading books, lots of deep thinking for sure. We did everything to keep it between us, our therapist, and our other support system outside of that with our own close friends who we each leaned on. So our kids are much younger then. Our twins were 7 and our oldest was 8 or 9. And it was a couple of years of working together and trying to figure out and then working through the details of the separation. We did all of that without alerting them to anything. And there were some really hard days in there. There were days in there where I picked up the kids from school and all the noise in the car. And they were being silly and happy. But I remember I was struggling so deeply. I just really wanted them to be quiet. But I felt like it was just best and most helpful if I could keep it to myself and let them be happy and let them be excited and let them be silly in the car after school after they'd been, you know, learning all day long. And if I just needed to contain and put my feelings and my struggles into a container and hold it together until I was able to get home, get them some snack and get on the phone with a friend or text someone and be like, hey, can I talk to you later tonight? Because I just didn't feel it was helpful to them or appropriate to burden them on any level with my adult problems. But for some, keeping this level of separation or compartmentalization may be extremely difficult to impossible. If you feel like you need to share some level of honesty, I think it's important and helpful to let your kids know to whatever degree you can that you've got things under control, that you're working on it, that it isn't something that they need to worry about. And I say this because this will support their sense of security and safety. Because the truth is that you may not feel like you have it all under control. You might be falling apart inside. And I know it's hard to kind of walk that fine line of honesty versus oversharing with them or burdening them. But the truth is, it's all going to work out. It always does. It always will. And the more that we can be that source of support for them, especially the younger they are. If they're teenagers, there's a lot more that you can probably make them privy to. But even teenagers have a lot going on. There's a lot of change. They're trying to figure out who they are and what they want. That's why I talked about that in the first episode, right? They're trying to figure out who they are and what their goals and what their values are and where they fit in their family. So even sharing with them is sometimes a lot when they're going through puberty and peer relationships and trying to figure out what's next for them in life. So you may be thinking, yeah, but Erin, I don't want to blindside my kids either. And I get that. And this is where this is a personal choice. It's based on your values. It's based on your experience. It's based on your kids. I knew my kids couldn't do anything to help the connection between me and their dad. And I didn't want them worrying about whether or not we were going to get divorced, because it wasn't going to change the outcome. We were going to do everything in our power to try to bring it back together. And in the end, if it didn't come back together, it was going to happen anyway, but I didn't want them worrying about it for a year or two in the meantime. So we handled it very quietly between ourselves and our support groups and made our decisions. And once we had decided to separate and we had worked through all the details, then we talked to the kids. So if we had worked it out and we had stayed together, then I would have been especially glad that we kept it to ourselves, because the nuances of adult relationships are so far beyond the understanding of children. There is a time and a place to talk with kids and teach them about the more difficult pieces about adult relationships, but there's much better timing. We're talking about my kids at the time being, you know, 8, 9, and 10. And that would be once they're embarking on this journey themselves, adolescence and maybe early adulthood, when they're experiencing relationships of their own and having these discussions, or as you see that they're getting ready and they're starting to dabble in romantic relationships, you can start having conversations on the level where they are, maybe one step ahead. Don't need to go into the whole aspect of how, you know, years with someone can be difficult, or how growing together or making sure that everybody stays connected is really a process in relationships. And how do you do that? That's something, you know, as they get into a serious relationship that you could start to talk about or guide them on. Now, I still haven't talked to my kids about the deeper subjects of dating and romantic relationships. Even my oldest at 15, he's so focused on tennis. He literally has no interest in dating at all. He is focused on his future. And I'm sure one of these days, well, maybe years, he might be 17 or 18, or 19, I don't know, he's so focused. But one of these years, someone will completely catch him by surprise. Likely it'll be some girl or woman he meets on the tennis court, some really amazing tennis player and amazing person. But for now, it would be a total waste of my breath other than to say, when you're ready to start dating or you meet someone and you want to talk about anything, I'm here. Okay, so finances. This is another big thing. A lot of us struggle with finances. A lot of parents, a lot of couples will struggle with finances. We all go through those ebbs and flows. Someone loses a job. There's some big catastrophe. You need a new roof, whatever. It comes up and surprises us. So I'm going to talk about that and the questions you might want to ask yourself so you can decide what to share. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. By Heart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, By Heart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has four levels: low, medium, high, and sleep, and four different timer options so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com. Now that we're back, what about talking to kids about financial strain? Finances are similar, in my opinion, especially if kids are too young to work. Being fully transparent, I am going through some bigger financial strain right now myself. I am working on a plan. I'm working on what's next and how do I solve this problem. But I haven't said a word to my kids because they have no control. This is an adult problem. I don't want to burden them with it. I don't want them feeling guilty or concerned every time I pay for something for them. And teenage boys eat a lot. And I have two of them. They're both in puberty and one of them is a really big time athlete. But I don't want them feeling bad or guilty every time they put something in their mouth. I don't want to do that. So what they do know is that I'm networking, I'm looking for work, I'm brushing up my resume. That's a good skill for them all to know that we have to pivot in life sometimes. We have to make a new plan, Stan, and how we do that. Later, I will tell them the truth. Later, I will tell them the reality of what I'm going through right now and what I did to fix it. I will share it as a lesson for them and for them to know what resilience looks like. And hopefully this will be a story where things turn out far better than any of us could have ever imagined. So what if you feel like you want to share with them? Or it's time to share something about whatever situation you're dealing with, whether it's relationship strain, whether it's looking likely that you're heading for a separation, financial strain, or maybe it's even that there's going to be a big change and you're a single family and you're joining families with another family. That's a big change. Even though it's positive for the parent and the partner, it's not necessarily positive for the kids. Think of how you can share it in a way that you can preserve their sense of security and safety and or their sense of love and belonging. Because when it comes to parents separating or maybe, again, moving in with a step family, blending families, these can rock both their sense of security and the feeling of love and belonging. Like, where am I going to fit? Right? That's the third tier. So how do you share this news in a way that supports both of these needs? You're going to talk about what stays the same. So this is for the sense of security. So if it's divorce, your dad and I both still love you very much. This fills that both needs, love and belonging and security. You will stay at the same school. You'll have the same friends. You will continue with your same activities. If they're staying in the same home, another great one. You're staying in the same home. If it's joining families, remember that the change that you're excited about, your kids may not be. So saying you'll have a new sister to hang out with, or we're moving into a big, beautiful house with a pool, that's an unknown. The apartment might feel safer even if it's cramped. So share in a way that shows you understand that I know you probably feel pretty safe and secure the way things are. I know change is hard, but I'm here for you. If you're struggling, come talk to me. I do think you'll see that it will be really nice having more room, having a yard, whatever that is. But letting your child know that you understand that they may not be excited about the change and that you are available to hear their feelings when they miss being a smaller family will make it more likely that they will come to you. You will get to be there to guide them through those feelings as they adapt to the changes. Okay, lastly, I want to share a quick word about parenting to the highest tier, the self-actualization tier. This is when you have the intention of parenting from a space where your goal is for your kids to pursue self-actualization. So here's an example. Patrick Mouratoglou was a very talented young tennis player. He wanted to pursue his dream of becoming a professional tennis player, but his parents said no. It was too risky, and they actually forced him to stop playing completely. His world got very dark, and he went into a depression. This is how he shared his story. And his dad offered him a job to work for his company in renewable energy. So he did that for several years. And then his dad offered him a partnership, but he turned it down because he said he didn't want to miss his second opportunity at a career in tennis. And he opened up a tennis academy. He is now one of the most successful tennis coaches in the world. So it did work out, but I'm sure he still wonders to this day, what if? When you parent from this top tier, you allow your child to pursue their passion. You allow them to chase their dreams with some sense of realism and a solid plan B, hopefully. So if you've been listening to me, you know all of this already, but when my oldest son told me he wanted to be a professional tennis player when he was 13, the odds were completely stacked against him. He started 6 or 7 years later than most of the people who end up on the pro circuit. It's also very expensive to get the amount of coaching needed. So when he told me this, though, I didn't hesitate for a split second because he was so passionate. It was his idea. I've never seen anyone so committed to anything. And here we are another year down the road and the kid is just more committed than ever. Loves tennis, loves to be on the court. He has improved so much. Like, he is on his way. If he keeps this up, he will be on, well, he is on fire, but he will be a force with which to be reckoned. He probably already is, but he will be a professional with a force with which to be reckoned. So I said we would do whatever we could to support him. And here we are. His coach said that he's not only risen to the same level as players who started at much earlier ages, he's actually now ahead. And they're working to get even further ahead every day. He's outpacing his coach, meaning he can respond faster, hit faster, get the ball back faster than his coach can. What he can't do yet is strategize quite as well as his coach can, but he's getting close. They did a quick tiebreaker the other day. It was supposed to be 6-7, but you have to win by 2. And my son only lost 6-8. So he took him past 7 points and lost 6-8. He trains twice a day most days now, and he still makes school a priority as well. So he's still carrying a 4.0 GPA all through middle and high school. So the plan is still to go to college and to play for a Division I school. So this is just an example of what it looks like to parent from this place of having the goal of supporting your kids' pursuit of their potential and their purpose. When someone finds their purpose and their passion in life, like, I would never want to hold my kids back from that. And I told my son, like, I never want you to wonder, what if? What if my parents had supported me? What if I had gone for it? Where would I be? I don't want to take that from him. I don't want him to ever have regrets about that. So these are the pieces of self-actualization, parenting from that place of self-actualization. So I do offer private coaching. If you're interested in private parent coaching with me, you can go to yourvillageonline.com/coaching. If you don't need private coaching, but you're interested in going in deeper, learning some solid parenting skills, and or you'd like the group coaching, these have been groups of like 2 to 3 parents most weeks, so super small. You can check out the classes in the two programs, the introductory program, Successful Parenting Playbook with the 10 classes, or the Thriving Families that has over 50 classes and the live coaching with me at yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.